We are in Revelation chapter 18, and we're going to last Sunday afternoon, we read chapter 17. We read about the whore that sat on the back of the scarlet colored beast, which represented Roman Catholicism. She had the name written on her, Mystery Babylon the Great. And that mother, it said she was the mother of harlots. And I want us to keep in mind as we move into chapter 18 that 17 was about the mother and 18 identified as well as part of Babylon would be talking about the next phase of church history. So it's important that we keep the historical context in mind as we read through this today. If you are the mother of harlots we talked about last Sunday, then the daughters would be, when they were born, are they innocent? Yes. Children are innocent. Doesn't matter how wicked or how evil the mother and father are, babies are innocent in the eyes of God. But as time elapses, we also are products of our environment. And unless there is a different environment provided, very often children take on the nature of their parents. And so when it talks about the mother of harlots, the analogy here is that it is the mother of harlots. In other words, this was the mother and her daughters were harlots. And a harlot spiritually was someone that was committing spiritual adultery, spiritual fornication with others. In other words, they were not being faithful to their true husband, who is God. So in a spiritual sense, it's talking about churches that are called by His name, whether we call ourselves Baptists, Methodists, Lutherans, Wesleyans, Warnerites, or Church of God, that we call ourselves by His name, so even if we say we're Church of God, but we're not living like it and we're committing adultery or spiritual fornication, that we're living differently than what the Word of God teaches. That makes us an unfaithful church, an unfaithful body. So with that as a foundation, Revelation chapter 18, He said, after these things, so after he saw that whore, the mother of harlots, sitting on the back of the beast, he said, after I saw those things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. Now, this afternoon is a very relevant message. I know it's afternoon, I know maybe tired, but it is one of the most relevant messages in the book of Revelation. One of. So when we talk about what does Revelation teach, we need to understand this message that the angel communicated in this 18th chapter. The message was Babylon the Great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils and hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird, for the all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Now, the message was about Babylon, and what is Babylon? Babylon is confusion. What else? Bondage. It's false religion. And here in the 17th chapter, remember, we saw the picture of the great harlot who represented the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church was the mother of harlots, or the mother of those that were to come that would still not be faithful to their husband. All right? So Babylon represents bondage. It represents confusion. It represents spiritual adultery. In other words, allegiance is given to something or someone other than to God Himself. And this has been done in your all's generation, okay? You young people, in your generation, this has been done by people with the name Church of God over the chapel door. They begin to exalt themselves. They begin to exalt a minister. They begin to exalt till they are almost worshiping a creed or worshiping a minister or worshiping something other than exalting Jesus Christ himself. Paul said, we come among you saving, knowing nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, and they also said, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ. So if we begin preaching ourselves, we better be very careful. I'm not saying it's wrong to preach on the church, to preach on God's people and what it is, but we are only God's people in as much as the Word and the Spirit have right of way in our midst. And so the message of this angel, the 18th chapter, the angel said, Babylon is what? It's fallen. Now, what does something have to be if you say it's fallen? What's the inference? Where was it before? It was lifted up, okay? You don't come along and say something that's been laying on the ground and that's where it's always been. You say, oh, it's fallen. No, something falls when it's been high and exalted and then it loses its original position and it falls to the ground. So I want us to keep something in mind here. The children are innocent. But we saw in the 17th chapter, the harlot was the Roman Catholic Church. But the question is now, who are her daughters? Who are the daughters of the Roman Catholic Church? Protestantism, right? In their infancy, and this is where you have to be really clear, in their infancy, they were innocent and God used them, right? We remember that the Protestantism came that the Lord began to give people light to break away from that spiritual adultery of the Roman Catholic Church. So they began to break away, but very soon they became as a harlot themselves. They stopped giving God the glory. They began to solidify and begin to focus on themselves in man's organizations, man creeds, man's hierarchy, as opposed to the Word and the Spirit, I'm going to say it again, having preeminence in their midst. So that meant that we saw the Roman Catholic Church as a harlot. We saw the Roman Catholic Church as a beast. Remember, we read about the beast in Revelation chapter 12 and 13. The dragon gave its power to the beast, and the beast gave its power to what? The image, or the second beast, which then made an image to the beast. The original beast was what? First of all, the dragon represented what? Paganism. And then the beast was Catholicism, and that second beast was Protestantism. Trace the line of power. Paganism lost its power. The devil changed his clothes, gave power to the Roman Catholic, what turned in to the Roman Catholic Church, okay? And then Roman Catholic Church began to lose its power because of Protestantism, so the devil changed his clothes again and began to working primarily through the Protestant churches. And so here is a different series, but the same message. Now it's giving us a picture of a woman, not the pure woman of the church of God or the early morning church, but now we see a harlot sitting on the beast. And here we have another harlot. This was a picture, another depiction of another one. But what beast is this here? The beast that had two horns, looked like a lamb, but spake as a dragon. Remember, what beast was this? Yeah, that was Protestantism, right? What do the two horns represent? Germany and England, right? Those were the two of the primary Protestant countries of that time that really led to the downfall of the power of the Roman Catholic Church. But yet it spake as what? Spake as a dragon, right? So here this is just a picture that someone made of that harlot sitting on that beast. And that just kind of ties those two series together for us in our minds. So the message was that Babylon the Great is fallen. Now some would like to try to say, well, the Roman Catholic Church is Babylon, but the Protestantism isn't. But remember, it's the mother of harlots. So who were her daughters? It was the churches that were not part of the mother itself, but they also committed spiritual adultery. and that was Protestantism. That doesn't mean that God was not in the Protestant Reformation. He was in it. He was in the infancy, in the innocency of it. God used that time period, but very quickly, and we're going to read in this chapter, and we may not read all the verses of this chapter, but we will just reference them, and you can read it on your own, some of it on your own time if you really want to. But I want you to get the message of the book, all right? The message of this chapter is vital. Babylon is fallen. Spiritual confusion, spiritual adultery takes in Roman Catholicism as the mother of harlots and her daughters, the Protestant churches, and now the message is Babylon's fallen. It's, in other words, one time God was using that, but now they've lost their power with God. Now the Lord, the presence of God is not going to be there like maybe even he was at one time. And he's talking obviously very spiritually here. One of the things the Lord has impressed upon me through the years is to be careful that we don't leave the simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity of the gospel. That doesn't mean, and those, you know me, doctrine is important. We need to know it. It's vital. But folks, what is vital even more than that is the simplicity of the message of salvation. Being saved from our sins and living a holy life. That's what the New Testament teaches. And I will say you will not find that kind of teaching out in Babylon. Okay? Now there are some groups that will still teach some of that. There are some. But you look at the major denominations and they are not teaching a life of holiness and simplicity and deliverance from sin. They're not teaching that. That's what he's talking about when he said they're fallen. In other words, don't join yourself with what is fallen because it brings death. You join yourself with a harlot, you're going to get in trouble, is what he's talking about. So he said it has become the habitation of devils. Now this is not spiritually or politically, it's spiritually expedient. It's not politically expedient today, okay? We live in a generation is don't talk bad about people. Don't talk bad because they're good people. I'm not talking about the individuals, but the system of other churches. Now, you're saying, oh, so they have to come through you? No. They have to come through Jesus Christ. But who's your founder? When did this church start? If it's anybody but Jesus Christ, and their creed is anything but the Word of God, and they are led by the votes that come out of the ministers' meetings, what is that? See? You begin, that's sectism. That's Babylon. That's why this is the Word of God. We don't have any other creed but this. That's why I will speak to the congregation. I guess anybody listening can take it for what they want. But do you realize this is my personal issue? There's a time for the ministry to step up to the plate and just make it known that there are some things that aren't right. There's a place for that. But there's also a place to recognize that my vote doesn't change truth. And if we start voting on every issue of truth, people are going to start saying the ministers voted on it, and that becomes a creed rather than doing things because the Word of God teaches what it does, and I'm doing it because God wants me to do it. And pretty soon, I might be doing it because my relationship with God, but you're doing it because it came out of a minister's meeting. So for you become a sect, and I'm going to stay in the Church of God, or vice versa. This is why there are many people that are losing this understanding. And I'm going to go a step further. There are leaders amongst our body that have lost the vision of this. And I'm passionate about this. Because if we get to a place that we think we can start voting, my vote means nothing. God's word stands on its own merit. That doesn't mean there's not a place to let the people know, folks, this isn't right. But why isn't it right? I don't need your vote to know it's not right. Frankly, I don't want your vote to know it's not right. I want to stand on the Word of God. You understand that? And so it means we might come to the same practical living, but what got us there? And if we are going to be the church that God wants, we are led by the Word and the Spirit. If we are led by man and led by a creed, we are in danger of becoming another of the daughters of the harlot. So that's where you may say, Brother Michael, it doesn't make that much difference. I say it makes a big difference because it has to do with our vision of what this is all about. And I would get in trouble by some if they heard me say what I did, but I stand in the Word on these things today. All right, so the angel said, Babylon is fallen. It is fallen, and he went on to say it's become the habitation of devils. We don't, again, it's not that there aren't people that are saved out in Babylon. Someone can get saved in the Baptist church down the road. Amen? If they repent of their sins, they're part of the church of God. But in the institution, if you come to service and you are fed a diet that you can't live free from sin, and God's grace covers you in your sin, how long do you think you're going to stay saved? It's difficult to stay saved in a dead system. It's not that there aren't good people there. There may be saved people there, but the system is what Babylon is. It's a system, he said, that has become the habitation of devils. In other words, it's not the power of God working there. It is there to titillate the spiritual senses, but there's no redeeming, there's no salvation there. There's no power, the anointing, and the presence of God. You can get an emotional rush. You can have an emotional high. You can go away having had a wonderful praise service, but you're going to go home and find emptiness just like the pleasures of the world. So that means we want something that is truly from the Spirit that makes a difference in our lives. And the message of this angel was that Babylon is fallen. It's not the Spirit of God working there freely. Does the Spirit of God want to work there? I believe everywhere the Word of God is preached, God will bless it to every heart that wants to receive it. Amen. Right? In other words, there can be people, there are false doctrine preachers. I've heard among us. Had to deal with a man one time that had some things wrong in his life. And he asked me, he said, are you telling me that I'm not anointed when I preach? And I said, that's not the point. It's not the point. He said, well, people are edified when I preach. I can go down the road or across the interstate here and be edified by some of those preachers over there. I'm not too spiritual to say that I'm better and I can't get anything from that. If they preach out of the Word of God and they have some good thoughts, I can receive some good to my spirit from that. So just because someone is blessed doesn't mean God's in it. God can anoint it from their mouth to my heart. But that doesn't mean God's approval is on their life. So we need to realize the difference. And this is one of the reasons why we need to be very, very careful about dabbling in sectism. Because we start looking at the people rather than the institution. The institution of Babylon got its power from the devil. All right? And those are straight words, but the book of Revelation is very straight on this point. It's the habitation of devils, a hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And then he went on to say, all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth committed fornication with the mother of harlots. They committed fornication with the daughters as well. They were still babbling. It was confusion. Religious, spiritual adultery. And then this fourth verse, and if you all young people, one of the key verses in Revelation is Revelation 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partaker of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. This was a message. He said, come out of her, my people. Come out. How often do you hear that anymore? We want to tread so carefully that we don't hurt someone's feelings. Sometimes we need to come out of ourselves, saints. Sometimes we need to come out of ourselves. We get so wrapped up in our history, and I don't want to be part of that, and I don't want to be part of that, and I'm not that. I wonder, what are you? Who are we as a people? We are to be letting the Word and the Spirit be our guide and our leader. That is our glory and worship, is to Jesus Christ. And we need to come out of this secular thinking that we are the church because we're in these four walls and we've been here for so many years and we know that preacher and we know that preacher and we meet at Monarch Springs. That's not the definition of the church of God. The definition of the church of God are those that have been washed in the blood and living to the holiness and purity of the Word of God. And so the message of the angel was, come out from all these religions, all those speckles of light. Come out from all these little points, and there's this church and that church, and he said, come out from that. There's confusion. Don't align yourself with those systems of false religion. You young people, I want to warn you. You may say, well, what's the problem with me going to church down the road? My friend invited me to go to church there, and there's some truth there and some good people, and I think they love the Lord. I hope they do, but what about the system they're in? What about the system? Are they honoring God? Is the Word their creed? Are they teaching truth? A little bit of false doctrine will pollute the whole cup. You take a cup here, and you go put a little bit of dog dung in it, I'll shake it up and say, have a drink. And I'll say, there's just a little bit of contaminants, mostly pure water. You gonna drink of it? No, because a little bit of contaminant pollutes the whole thing. And too many times we find people going to a system that the scripture says it's full of devils. There's danger there. I don't want to go find my spiritual food in Babylon. We need it from the Word of God. We need it. Truth. It doesn't mean that we cannot learn. We should always be learning. We should always be seeking. We should never be so spiritual that we can't receive something from someone else. But at the same time, don't align yourself or join yourself with a system, and be careful about dabbling in sectism. Okay? If you dabble too much, you'll get the smell of smoke, the smell of secular smoke on your garments, and then people try to bring that right back in among God's people. So be careful. He said here, it's fallen. And then he said, come out of her, my people. That was one of the big messages, really, of the 1880s Reformation. It was come out. And I've heard people question today, is that even still a relevant message? It's not relevant unless we're still the body of Christ. But if we're just another church, another group, then no, that message really isn't too relevant. So I guess the relevancy of that message has to do with your vision. You start questioning the relevancy, I may start questioning where you are in your walk with God, because when you get a vision of what the church really is, you will then begin to understand it is a relevant message. So I pray that you young people can get a vision and understanding of this, because there has been too much dabbling in sectism in Babylon, and the message was come out. Don't be part of it. So it is still very relevant. Spiritual worship versus worldly worship. How do you want to worship God today? You want to be entertained? You came to the wrong place. You want to have your senses titillated? Go to another church. Go to another organization. But you want to hear truth? And people say, well, that stepped on my toes, and they get offended and don't come back. My question is, where are you going to go? Would you not rather come and hear truth to at least know what is right? Or do you want the preacher just to make you feel good? Keep your bad attitudes. Yeah, you're judgmental, and you don't have forgiveness, and you never humble your heart, and you never say you're sorry. But yeah, just go on. That's all right. Or when the preacher preaches the word, you get offended and walk away. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? Folks, the truth hurts sometimes, but it's not for the purpose of cutting off or destroying. It's for the purpose that we can grow and be edified, that I can get victory in the places where I was struggling, or in the places where I was wrong, that I can humble myself and say, I'm sorry. Or you can sit and humbly take injustices over and over and over. Do you know how you can do that? By the power of God. So he said, come out of systems of false religion. And the church of God is to be a place where you can hear truth preached. And when people leave Babylon, do you know, we don't hear very much of that today, do we? We don't see that very often. But do you know when people do, there is, because of their coming out, there is a judgment placed against Babylon because they realize, I see this was not right. And there's such a joy to their experience that I found something better. But a lot of us here have been raised knowing this truth, and sometimes I don't think we value it like we should. And if we don't start learning to value it, we start losing the message, and we start losing our enthusiasm, and the light begins to grow dim because we don't value the Holy Spirit leadership. We don't value the fullness of the preaching of God's Word. And then we want other things and feeding on the things of the world. Then you come to serve and say, this is boring. Do you realize when you have a love of truth, there's something in your heart that starts resonating? And there is nowhere I would rather be than under the anointed preaching of the Word of God, where the Spirit is blessing it, and there's something in my spirit that's saying amen, even when I'm falling short. And I'm saying, Lord, I want to get there. I may not be there, but Lord, help me in my attitude. Help me in my spirit. Help me in my walk with you, Lord, because this is truth. And I don't want to compromise that to make myself feel better to come to service. 2 Corinthians is a scripture that goes very closely with this message that the angel brought. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 to 18. He said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? It was a question. What fellowship? He said, what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? And he went on to say, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now this message sounds familiar, doesn't it? Wherefore come out from among them. Come out and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Folks, I don't want to be joined to a daughter who's a harlot. I don't want to be joined to the Roman Catholic Church, and I don't want to be joined with one of her daughters that broke away but took on the same spirit under the guise of we're not part of that organization. And then they made their own organization. He said, come out and be separate. So, young people, next time you start thinking, what's wrong with going to a different church? I'm going to tell you what's wrong with it. If they're not teaching a life free from sin, and they're not teaching holy living, and we live in a world where most churches are compromising on divorce and remarriage, they're compromising on living free from sin. They're compromising on just practical holiness. In one that you don't even have to look very far, very few churches, they preach and teach and practice practical modesty. It's a Bible doctrine. And that's just something you see very visibly. But their lifestyle, the things that they're promoting. And on the other hand, you can see many of these people, they're very strong on missions. They're sending people out to do good works. I thank God for their good works, but I don't thank God for the system that is pushing them and motivating them. So there's a difference. Say, well, why can't I join? There's a mission team. There's a mission team from the church down the road, and I'm just using that as an innocuous example. But why, they're sending a mission team. Why can't I go with them? They're preaching Christ. What are you promoting? What system are you involving yourself in? He said, come out from that and don't touch it and don't fellowship with it. It's not to say they're not doing good. So when someone tries to cross every T and dot every I, so you're saying they shouldn't go? No, I think, as Paul said, I thank God that Christ has preached. But I'm still not going to join myself with a system that's not teaching truth. There are good people. God bless them. If they're living for God, I hope they are. But the system that they represent is full of devils because the devil knew he could get more people under the name of Christ than without it at that time period. And it's still at work today. And so the message was, come out. I hope that is very clear to all of us today. We're going to just, I'm just going to summarize. You read down through verses 9 to 19, you will talk about, it talks about the kings of the earth, again, having committed fornication with her. Spiritual adultery, again, the Protestant, it deceived many people. It was very widespread. And it talks about, in verse 10, and I'm just going to read this one, it says, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city. In other words, one time it was prosperous. One time it seemed like she was elevated. But he said, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And then there would be those that would mourn over her and weep over her. And then in verse 19, it said, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea. In other words, they were moving. Protestantism expanded and grew. Many, many nations were touched by it. And it said, for in one hour she is made desolate. Now, you may have different thoughts on it, and maybe you can teach me on these things, and I don't understand every T and I that's in the passage, but I will say this. Some of the people used to feel like that when Babylon was fallen, it was because it had lost all semblance of order. There was no Babylon anymore. She lost all power. But it talks about, you read through it, Babylon had lost her moral stand for truth and right. She had lost it. Babylon is still alive and well today, isn't it? Protestant churches. You say, well, I thought that it was fallen, and we look around and see it seemingly that they're prospering. Do you realize it's speaking spiritually here? In one hour, and I don't know all of the implication, but this is what the Lord had some of the thoughts that God gave me on this. Just like the early morning church, remember, people began to apostatize so quickly. And we look at the Protestant Reformation when they were babies, God used them. They were innocent. It was a move of God. But so quickly, within the same hour almost, prophetically speaking, wasn't it? Almost within the same hour of breaking away from the Roman Catholic Church, they apostatized again. Within the same hour, the judgments of God once more came on what started out good. The just shall live by faith. That was wonderful. The infilling of the Holy Spirit in the 1700s, that's wonderful. But so quickly, within the same hour, the judgments of God one more time came against them. Those are just some thoughts that the Lord had put on my heart on these passages of Scripture. And then in verse 20 it said, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. In other words, it's talking about the judgments of God coming down against Babylon. And he said, rejoice. And I remember hearing, and even when I was a child, there was more said about it, but people rejoicing because her city doth burn. In other words, you know, Babylon is just burning up with the judgments of God, and they preach a message of judgment against it. And today we have to be people are so careful, don't want anybody, if Monarch, don't name any group out because someone might be there from that group. Babylon has fallen. And he said, rejoice. He said, rejoice in it, because it's not just in the decline of a person, but it's rejoice that the system of iniquity has been exposed for what it is. That's our rejoicing. Some people feel like if you tear someone down, it makes you better. We know that's not true, right? So our identity should not come because we just lash out against Babylon. We ought to be who we are because of the shining truth of God's Word, the love of God, and holiness in our lives. But at the same time, there is a place of judgment against Babylon, or people just start thinking the church of God is just another church among churches. We just have a different history, and we're all going to heaven, and we all want to get there. We're all good people, and they're going a little different way than we are. Is that right? Is that truth? It's not what the Bible teaches. Babylon is the habitation of devils. So I trust we get that message. And then in conclusion, in verses 21, moving down to 24, it talks about the judgments of God. A mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, cast it into the sea, saying, thus with the violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. The place and the time that Babylon will be found no more at all is when Jesus comes back. All right? Because she's still working. When we get into a couple of the next chapters, we're going to read about, again, what we call the Battle of Armageddon. The battle of Gog and Magog and the forces of evil that have come through all the history of the church. We're facing those things today. Babylon is not going to be completely destroyed till Jesus comes back. So this is talking about that end. And I will conclude in 2 Thessalonians in the second chapter. We referenced it last week. The seventh verse. He said, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed when the Lord shall consume them with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, even him, and this is why it's important to follow along in your Bible, because if the minister reads more than one verse, we get lost. Right? I sit where you sit too. You hear more than one verse and it's a little tedious in the reading. We get lost. So when you follow along in your Bible, it's easier to see what it's saying. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause shall God give them over to a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Folks, that's a very clear scripture about what's going to happen to those that are still fellowshipping and dabbling with and aligning themselves with the mother of harlots and her daughters. He's talking about apostasy. He's talking about compromise. He's talking about those that are not, do not have a love of truth. Great peace have they that what? That love thy law and nothing shall offend them. Next time you hear about a quote unquote saint, you used to hear more about, have you all, you young people heard about the saints and the ain'ts? I've heard that again recently. And Sister Lottie Porter used to pray about the saints and the ain'ts. But do you know the next time you hear about a saint getting offended saying they're not coming back to church, I want to just tell you, you might be talking about an ain't, not a saint. Because a saint of God is someone that has great peace because they have a love of truth. All right? So that doesn't mean there aren't situations and certain situations sometimes, but when you find people that are caught up in their pride, that causes them to distance themselves because of pride from God's people and truth, you be careful not to jump on their bandwagon. I didn't hear one amen on that, but it's true. Be careful when someone calls you and they're offended at the preacher. I had a pastor tell me a while back, just a few months ago, he'd had problems in his congregation, someone talking about him going around. He told me, he said, I'm not going to put up with that again. He said, when someone starts doing that, he's going to just start calling them out, letting people know this person's out spreading. I'm not saying I'm doing that, but I'm saying you be careful. When people call me from other congregations talking about their pastor, it lets me know when I start listening through it, I start hearing some things that I know that a lot of times it's not the pastor's the problem. When someone calls you and starting to talk bad about God's people, I want to caution you. Be careful about sympathizing with that spirit. All right? If there's an unjust something done that's not right, we'll deal with it. If there's sin committed, we'll deal with it. But when you find people offended, many times you get behind and you really start finding out what's happened, there's other things going on. So be careful about getting on the bandwagon of someone that is putting distance between themselves from God and his people. Now, he talked about God giving them over to delusion. And something else he talked about with Babylon here, he said that they worked wonders. Just because you see a miracle, this is review now, Just because you see a miracle, does that mean God's in it? No, because devils work miracles. In what greater deception than to see one of the daughters, who's a harlot, see miracles coming out of her? You say, well, surely this must be God. Well, the devil works miracles too, for the purpose of deceiving. So look behind it and say, are they preaching truth? Do you find humility? Do you find people willing to bear injustice? Do you find people willing to humble their hearts? Do you find practical holiness? Do you find love? Do you find forgiveness? Do you find people that stand in truth? Folks, we have something very valuable today. So this, in summary, that message of Revelation chapter 18 was, Babylon is fallen. Come out of her, my people, and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. Amen.